Mr. Lankford. Mr. Leahy.
No.
Mr. Lee.
No.
Mrs. Leffler.
No.
Mr. Lujan.
No.
Ms. Lummis.
No.
Mr. Manchin.
No.
Mr. Markey.
No.
Mr. Marshall. Mr. McConnell. Mr. Menendez. Mr. Merkley. Mr. Moran. Ms. Murkowski. Mr. Murphy. Mrs. Murray. Mr. Paul. Mr. Peters.
No.
Mr. Portman.
No.
Mr. Reed.
No.
Mr. Risch.
No.
Mr. Romney.
No.
Ms. Rosen.
No.
Mr. Rounds.
No.
Mr. Rubio. Mr. Sanders.
No.
Mr. Sass.
No.
Mr. Schatz.
No.
Mr. Schumer.
No.
Mr. Scott of Florida.
No.
Mr. Scott of South Carolina.
No.
Mrs. Shaheen.
No.
Mr. Shelby. Ms. Sinema.
No.
Ms. Smith.
No.
Ms. Stabenow.
No.
Mr. Sullivan.
No.
Mr. Tester.
No.
Mr. Thune.
No.
Mr. Tillis.
No.
Mr. Toomey. Mr. Tuberville.
Aye.
Mr. Van Hollen.
No.
Mr. Warner.
No.
Ms. Warren.
No.
Mr. Whitehouse.
No.
Mr. Wicker.
No.
Mr. Wyden.
No.
Mr. Young.
And that completes the calling of the roll. This will be a resounding defeat for this effort to reject the electoral votes from Arizona. The question now is how many senators voted in the affirmative to reject the electoral votes. The clerk is tallying up the roll call, going down to make sure she's got it exactly right, the full number of yeas, the full number of nays, and then she'll hand the tally sheet to Vice President Pence, who will announce it to the chamber. Checking it once, checking it again. This is on an objection raised by Paul Gosar of Arizona, a Republican from the House, and co-signed by Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz. Most of the speakers tonight, as reflected in the roll call, were against this effort to reject Arizona's electoral votes. Senators are waiting in silence for the roll call to be tallied up. It was interesting to hear Senator Loeffler of Georgia say tonight that she could not in good conscience accept the continuing to go along with the objections. Of course, Senator Loeffler just yesterday was defeated in the runoff election in Georgia. She will soon be replaced by Democrat Raphael Warnock. The Democrats are about to take control of the chamber in 2 weeks' time. If by then the two Democrats who've won their seats in the Senate have been certified in time by Governor Brian Kemp, with Vice President Harris 2 weeks from now, the Democrats will have control of the chamber and will be able to remake the committees, will be able to advance limited degrees of legislation under certain procedural rules in the Senate. As we await the announcement of the tally and the roll call, let's turn to CBS's Steve Dorsey. Steve, very briefly, let's talk about some of the responses to the speeches, particularly from Mitt Romney, who gave a stirring speech. He said on the floor that the best way we can show respect for the voters who are upset is by telling them the truth, and there was bipartisan applause.
Yeah, the truth, Romney says, is that Joe Biden won the election. Not President Trump, who he says has been for a long time misinforming his supporters and his followers. He called this an insurrection at the Capitol, and he has been a very present force in today's Senate proceedings, at times glaring at Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, who, according to his latest reports from his spokesperson, still plans to object to the vote tally recorded in the Electoral College from Pennsylvania later this evening.
Steve Dorsey's with us as we continue our CBS News live coverage. I'm Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Steve Dorsey's at the Capitol, which is now back in operation after the hours-long siege, where a mob of angry people carrying Trump flags and Gadsden flags raised their voices and entered the chamber and disrupted the activities of the Congress today. And only tonight, here at 10:10 p.m. Eastern Time, is the first vote being taken on the first objection to the counting of the electoral votes from the state of Arizona. And Arizona's first because they go in alphabetical order. And we are awaiting the announcement. The vote is still open. There were at least six Republicans who voted to sustain the objection and essentially to reject the electoral votes from Arizona. And it looks like it's going to be an overwhelming vote against the objection, which will allow for the constitutional process of the counting of electoral votes to continue. A similar debate is still ongoing in the House of Representatives. The House started its debate tonight at about 9 o'clock, resumed its debate tonight at about 9 o'clock. The Senate got underway at about 8 o'clock, and so the Senate has a bit of a head start on the House, and the timing is going to have to align for both chambers to be finished with their respective voting before the joint session can come back in. And then we're going to hear more of the state certificates being read aloud, and that continues the count. Josh Hawley, the junior senator from Missouri, who Steve Dorsey spoke of just a moment ago, said in his remarks tonight on the Senate floor that he would be objecting to the electoral votes from Arizona, and he also noted that he had an objection to the electoral votes from Pennsylvania on a certain procedural basis because of the way that Pennsylvania went about expanding voting by mail. But what's interesting is that Hawley said that he would speak about that objection to the Pennsylvania vote tonight, even early. That is, I should say late. But let's listen to Vice President Pence announce the tally.
On this vote, the yeas are 6, the nays are 93. The objection is not sustained. The Secretary will notify the House of the action of the Senate, informing that body that the Senate is now ready to proceed to joint session with further counting of the electoral vote for President and Vice President.
Well, there you have it. An overwhelming rebuke, 93-6. 93 noes to reject the objection.
Now, as we wait for the House to finish their debate and vote, we expect the House to finish voting on Arizona between 11:30 and midnight. I ask unanimous consent the Senate be in a period of mourning business with the following senators permitted to speak therein for up to 5 minutes each.
All right, so that's a procedural motion which suggests that members will be given time on the floor to speak in without necessarily affecting the proceedings, and that is going to essentially be a filler of time while the House continues its debate. Let's go back to Steve Dorsey for a recap of the debate that we heard before the Senate voted on a 93-6 basis to reject the Republican objections and to accept the electoral votes from Arizona. Steve, your thoughts on the debate as it's played out on the radio tonight?
Well, just at the vote tally, the sentiment on the floor of the Senate was an overwhelming rejection, at least in speeches that we heard, of this objection to Arizona's electoral voting record. We even heard from Kelly Loeffler, the senator, the outgoing Republican senator from Georgia, say that she has reversed her decision to object to President-elect Joe Biden's projected victory and instead vote to support the tally that will take place later tonight in this joint session of Congress. Right now, the House continues their debate, and it's very much a similar tone to the debate that we heard in the House with top conservatives there, including Mitch McConnell, Mitt Romney, and others voice their concern for the state of the political system in this country, for the legislative branch, for this insurrection, this storming of the Capitol we saw today, and for the inflammatory rhetoric that President Trump has inspired.
And we've gotten a chance to actually have a sense of some of the damage, some of the desecration that's been done inside what has been called the Temple of Democracy of the U.S. Capitol. Various pieces of furniture have been damaged or destroyed. There have been frosted glass windows broken out. There were incredible pictures of some of these members of the angry mob breaking windows and climbing into the Capitol, scaling the walls. And in fact, it was deadly violence today. A woman who was shot wound up dying at a hospital. The circumstances of it all aren't entirely clear. There have been a number of arrests. There's, of course, a curfew in effect here in Washington, D.C., and Capitol Police, after several hours of the siege, finally got the situation under control, clearing the demonstrators off of the west front of the Capitol and the east front of the Capitol, pushing them several blocks away from the Capitol, and securing the building so that the proceedings in the joint in the House and Senate could resume. Once again, the Senate has voted 93-6 to reject the Republican objection being raised by Republican Congressman Paul Gosar of Arizona and Ted Cruz of Texas, a challenge to the Arizona electoral votes. So what that means is, presuming that the House takes the same action, that the joint session will continue and that the votes from Arizona will be counted. And that's it's just that simple. In his speech tonight, Mitch McConnell, the second of two very emotional speeches given by the Senate Majority Leader, McConnell said the U.S. Senate will not be intimidated. We will not be kept out of this chamber by thugs, mobs, or threats. And he said that the Senate would finish exactly what it started and do it by the book, certifying the winner of the 2020 presidential election. Chuck Schumer, the top Senate Democrat, who's about to become the majority of two Democrats from Georgia, said that we could add January 6th, 2021 to the short list of dates that will live forever in infamy, comparing it to December 7th, 1941. Chuck Schumer said that a few thousand violent extremists must and should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. He said hopefully by this administration, certainly by the next, and that they should be provided no leniency. Mitt Romney provoked bipartisan applause when he stood and said that those who object to the counting of electoral votes tonight will be seen by history as complicit in an unprecedented attack on our democracy. And he said this is all happening, quote, due to a selfish man's injured pride. Lindsey Graham, the Republican senator from South Carolina who's been seen over the last 4 years as one of the president's closest allies in the Congress, said that enough is enough. Graham said he's trying to be helpful, but he simply doesn't buy the claims of fraud, and quote, we gotta end it. And that's just a portion of some of the remarks we've heard from members of the Republican Party mainly, but also, of course, some Democrats, as the Senate resoundingly rejects on a 93-6 basis the electoral vote objections raised in the state of Tennessee. Now, Steve Dorsey, I don't know if you have any more insights than I do as to longer things are going to go tonight, but I think I heard Senator McConnell say that the expectation was the House wouldn't be voting until about 11:30?
Yes, that's correct. That's the latest guidance from Mitch McConnell. In fact, right now on the Senate, on the House floor, this debate continues. Right now we're hearing from Florida Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz, who is speaking in support of this objection that we've been debating since 1 o'clock, since before this was interrupted to Arizona. And this will continue for more than the next hour with a vote at around 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that's just the beginning, really. There's still reconvening this joint session of Congress. Remember, the Senate is on the other side. All of those lawmakers have to make their way through a new line of police that are present here, and make their way into the House chamber. Then the vice president will preside over that, gavel that back in, and then the tellers will be opening these sealed records from each state, which I should say they're in these special mahogany boxes, and they were rescued during the chaos by very brave and courageous and thoughtful staffers who are worried about these official records of the electoral votes that are being unsealed and tallied in this process.
Steve Dorsey is our correspondent on Capitol Hill, who's been there all day covering all the action outside in the Capitol building, in the House and Senate chambers. Let's listen in to our CBS TV colleagues as they are discussing what's going on. Nora O'Donnell is anchoring, and Chris Van Cleve is also a reporter who's outside. Let's listen to Nora O'Donnell as she continues our coverage.
By a mob attempted takeover of the Capitol instead of the fact that nearly 300,000 Americans are dead from coronavirus, or that millions of Americans who want a vaccine to protect themselves against this virus can't get a vaccine, who want direction from either the federal government or from their representatives to help with the process, to move along the process so that their parents and grandparents and those with comorbidities can get a vaccine. And yet Congress seems consumed by a process with a preordained outcome that President-elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be the next leaders of the United States of America. And thus it continues the difficult work of democracy. Want to return now to the state of our nation's capital, not just what's happening in Congress, but on the streets, because there are still those tens of thousands of angry mobsters who were at the U.S. Capitol are now roaming the streets of D.C., despite the fact that there is a curfew here. CBS's Chris Van Cleve has been on the Mall and outside the Capitol all day. Chris, you were an eyewitness to the thousands of law enforcement that tried to remove and push back that angry mob. What's happening now?
Well, Nora, certainly the area around the Capitol has turned very quiet. You can see the National Guard is still here. The mob, the crowd, largely gone, almost entirely gone at this hour. The city is under a curfew. We know that as of 9:30 tonight, D.C. police have made at least 30 curfew violation arrests. A handful of people taken into custody in front of us here earlier. And part of the reason why the Capitol grounds are so quiet, basically in every direction you look, you're going to see flashing police lights. You can see over there one of the intersections nearby blocked off by police cars. There are emergency vehicles just circling the footprint of the Capitol here. And we'll show you why. Let's show you a little bit of video from earlier today as people force their way inside the Capitol. They were met by that lone Capitol police officer who tried to stop them. He was forced to retreat until some long seconds later, other officers appeared to assist him. In another part of the Capitol, protesters were in a hallway when a gunshot rang out. A woman was hit. Police officers drew their weapons to provide cover as people started CPR. Unfortunately, that woman later died. On the House floor, as rioters were storming the building and moving that way, members donned protective gear and were evacuated by police. We spoke with Representative David Trone.
There was a gas mask pre-placed under every other seat in the chamber. So we put the masks on. We heard pounding on the door at the time as people were outside the doors but could not get in. And then they exited us all out to some side entrances, which were heavily manned by Capitol Police, and then down some elevators and through the complex to where we are now, just in a holding pattern.
And now, just a few blocks from the far side of the Capitol sits the RNC, and we want to show you some video there, the Republican National Committee. The D.C. bomb squad was summoned there because what appeared to be two improvised explosive devices, they look like pipe bombs, were found there. The bomb squad rendered them safe. A search throughout the day then turned up a vehicle nearby. Inside there were weapons and ammunition. That investigation is still going on. Unclear if the two are related, but that's happening outside the Republican National Committee. Just a few blocks from the Capitol. You know, one of the big questions, Nora, and Jeff touched on it earlier, the police presence here. When we got on scene before things got out of control, there were not a lot of police officers. The police presence was notably low, and this is not a town that is, this town is used to dealing with demonstrations, and normally there would be road closures and significant police presence. That didn't happen until after things were out of control. Nora?
Chris Van Cleve, thank you so much. And that concern about the lack of law enforcement was certainly noted by members of Congress who were seen scurrying through the Capitol, some of them on their hands and knees, as armed guards fought back the mob who was trying to make their way onto the House and Senate floors. Joining us now is Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, a Democrat from Washington State. She was above the House chamber as the mob stormed the Capitol. And Congresswoman, thank you so much for joining us. Would you first just describe the scene for us?
It was really like something from some other country, not the United States. We were in the gallery just above the chamber. There were about 12 of us members there. And suddenly we heard, probably before the people on the floor heard, the noise of people breaching the Capitol. We saw it on our Twitter feeds and social media and from alerts, but we could hear it. We could hear people screaming, shouting. We heard, you know, what sounded like a big, angry, violent mob. And then we noticed that Speaker Pelosi was being taken off the floor. Steny Hoyer was being taken off the floor. There was a brief suspension. We thought maybe things would be okay. But pretty quickly, all of the members on the floor were ushered off through the side doors, as was described. But those of us that were in the gallery, just above the floor, were essentially couldn't get out. And so we put on our gas masks and we were told to immediately drop to the floor. The floor by then had been cleared, but we heard shots being fired, I guess, into the chamber. They sounded like they were right there. And we saw the Capitol Police, now the only ones on the House floor. We could see them. They had barricaded the doors with furniture, with other things, and they were standing about six to a door around the door with guns drawn. To try to stop anybody who continued to fire through. So I think
we're seeing the pictures right now of you actually up in the gallery witnessing that, and we could hear, it almost seemed like you and your colleagues praying.
Yes, Lisa Blunt Rochester began praying, and she was right next to me, Sheila Jackson Lee, a few others. And she began praying for peace, for us to be protected, for everyone to be protected, for the violence to stop. It was a pretty terrifying moment, I have to say. And, you know, we didn't know when we were going to get out. We saw all of our colleagues going out off the floor, but we were stuck. And we could hear the banging outside the door as well. And so we were finally able to leave. We, you know, went down a series of very circuitous steps, and then finally were ushered to a safe location where we sat. But I just have to say that we are back in the chamber. I stepped off the floor to take this call. We will not allow these violent people who assaulted our Capitol, assaulted our Constitution, assaulted our democracy, have no regard whatsoever for the laws of this country, to stop us from doing our constitutional duty. So we are here, and by the end of this night, we will certify that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the President and the Vice President of the United States. And regardless of what Donald Trump has done to overturn this election, to incite violence, we refuse to allow that to destroy our democracy. So we will conduct the will of the people and the duty for which we were sworn and we took an oath to here in Congress. But the damage is extensive, and it isn't going to be over tonight. We will have to rebuild, and it is horrific to me, absolutely horrific, that the President of the United States is still condoning these protesters and still claiming that this election is stolen. So hopefully more Republican colleagues will come out. I think some of them are shaken, and some of them are finally speaking out. But this has gone on for too long. It is too dangerous. And I'm not just talking about danger to our lives. Somebody died here. Somebody was shot. But also to our country, to our Constitution, to the very idea of America and what we stand for here and around the world.
Congresswoman, this is Ed O'Keefe alongside Nora and Major Garrett here. Thank you again for joining us tonight. One quick question about the House. You're someone who has a pretty good handle on the mood of your Democratic caucus. There has been talk today about impeaching the president in the next 2 weeks, and there's been talk of possibly even voting to remove the Republican members who object today. Do you support either of those actions? Do you think a large number of Democrats in your caucus would? Is that even worth doing at this point?
I think people are horrified by what has happened and horrified by the danger that President Trump presents to the country in this office, even for just another 2 weeks. And so I know that there are discussions, and I think, Ed, you might have even tweeted about this, about invoking the 25th Amendment. That is something that Vice President Pence could do, members of the cabinet could and should do. I am signing a letter with some of my colleagues, writing a letter with some of my colleagues to Vice President Pence about this. And I think that we have to hold Donald Trump accountable. He was absolutely responsible for inciting this violence, for fueling it. And he is a danger to our country. He is a danger to our Constitution. He is the only president who has refused to concede the election. And so these Electoral College votes are not... It isn't just a protest. It's a protest to mollify a president who is refusing to accept the results of the people.
Congresswoman Jayapal, thank you so much for joining us as the work continues there on Capitol Hill.
That's Nora O'Donnell speaking with Pramila Jayapal, the Democrat member of the House from Washington State. The House of Representatives is right now voting on the objection that has been made to the electoral votes from Arizona, and the vote is ongoing. It could take a while because of the COVID precautions that have been put in place in the House of Representatives, where, as you know, there are 435 members. Well, to avoid having too many members on the floor at one time, the rule has been set that votes are taking place in groups, so basically batches of members of the House are going in and then leaving, and then others are going in and then leaving. So as it stands right now in the House, the vote at the moment is 49 yeas, 102 nays. And again, this is on the objection and whether to sustain it, whether to agree to it. And at the moment, the nay votes are vastly ahead, but the fact that 49 Republicans have voted in favor of the objection speaks to the strength of the support for it in the House. Now, in the Senate, earlier this hour, the roll call vote was 93-6 against. The six senators who voted in favor of the objection are as follows: Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, Louisiana's John Kennedy, Mississippi's Cindy Hyde-Smith, Kansas's Roger Marshall, and Alabama's newly elected Senator Tommy Tuberville. They are the six senators who voted in favor of the objection brought by Senator Cruz to reject the electoral votes from Arizona. But 93 of their colleagues voted against this effort. Let's continue listening to CBS News television coverage. Here's Nicole Killian, reporter in Washington.
He said that the American people will step up, and he declared enough is enough. Of course, we're now just 2 weeks away from Inauguration Day. Nora?
Nicole Killian there in Wilmington, Delaware. The president-elect speaking as his own vice president-elect was there on Capitol Hill as a sitting U.S. senator. Part of the time she was not there during the day, we were told by her Secret Service and other officials close with her. But nevertheless, another line from the president-elect that struck to me is that the words of a president are very important, mm-hmm. that the words of a president can inspire and they can also incite. And what's remarkable today is the number of Republican lawmakers that are accusing the president directly of inciting this violence, which suggests a not only cleaving or a final cleaving mm-hmm. with President Trump, but a question also about responsibility, which in the past they have been unwilling to
right.
to ascribe to the president.
It's an artful effort to shed complicity, and it may not succeed.
Complicity because, on their own part.
Yes, because Republicans have aided and abetted and created this space of forgiveness for the president that seemed to have no limits. Infinite elasticity. Every pushing against the understood norms of the presidency itself, they seem to find a way to accommodate, excuse, or in some way contextualize as more harmless than it actually sounded. And we have had people, for example, one of the top election officials in Georgia, sound warnings many weeks ago. The president's rhetoric is dangerous. It will incite violence. People will get hurt. Someone will get shot. That's exactly what was predicted 3 or 4 weeks ago by a top official in Georgia, a Republican. And that is exactly what's come to pass.
A woman was shot tonight and died.
Blood was spilled in the United States Capitol, American on American. And there will be an attempt probably by some in the most loyal Trump faction to say, oh, those probably weren't Trump supporters. Let the video speak for itself. Let the illustrative hats, flags, and demonstrable signs of Trumpian support reveal their intent and who they were and what they were doing in the Capitol. Point one. Point two, incitement and insurrection, Nora, those are words from another lost place in American history, the Civil War. We are not or should not be at that place, yet we found ourselves today inexplicably, horrifyingly at that precipice. It's an abyss. Republicans are looking into it, and they better recoil from it.
Major, thank you. I want to bring in Senator Chris Coons. He is a Democrat from Delaware. And Senator, you're known as someone who reaches across the aisle to their colleagues. Tell me what you're hearing from your Republican colleagues tonight.
Well, Nora, this has been a very difficult day in the United States Capitol, a day that began with a recognition that more than a dozen of my Republican colleagues intended to do something unprecedented in that they were going to challenge as a group the election and try and disenfranchise millions of voters. But like the impeachment trial of nearly a year ago, I think most of us who slogged into the Capitol today thought we knew the outcome and thought we knew that this would be a mostly boring and long evening of speeches, constitutionally significant, troubling, but unremarkable. Instead, as you know, we suffered an assault on the Capitol of the United States. We saw chaos. And on my way over here, I went past in the rotunda the litter, the garbage, the mess that was left behind by hundreds of protesters, rioters, thugs who took possession of the United States Capitol, and dozens of fully equipped armored troops wearing battle armor, resting after a day taking back control of our nation's capital. That changed the votes of about half of my Republican colleagues who earlier in the day had intended to object. We just had an hour and a half of debate on the Senate floor where there were compelling and moving speeches by Republicans and Democrats
the majority leader, the minority leader, and senators new and seasoned. But this is a moment, Nora, we have to stop and reflect and look at what's just happened today. President Trump fired up these crowds, brought them here from across our nation, and unleashed them on our Capitol. The world is watching this today. Our children are watching this tonight. And we have to change course. We have to take back the direction of our democracy. So my question for my Republican colleagues as we sat huddled together, having been evacuated from the Senate floor, was, is this the night the fever will break and you will show some independence from this dangerous demagogue of a president we still have? Nor confident that 2 weeks from today, Joe Biden will be sworn in as the next president of the United States. And we have to take this opportunity to begin healing and moving past where President Trump led us today.
And on that question of whether the fever broke, you still had six of your Republican Senate colleagues, however, proceed with an objection and vote against the Arizona electors.
I do. A number of the senators who changed their votes are ones who, as you said in your introduction, I have a friendship with, I have legislated with. And a number of those who are insisting on continuing with their objection are several with ambitions to run for the presidency themselves, several who are newly seated senators. But I don't forgive any of them, because just a few days ago, all of us took swore an oath to defend the Constitution. What's happening on the floor of the Congress this evening, what happens here in the halls of Congress today, threatens that very Constitution and our democratic order. So my hope is that the constituents of those voted tonight to disenfranchise millions, to overturn this election, and to try and move forward Trump's scheme, this attempted coup today in the Capitol of the United States, they would be dishonored by having cast those votes, and that their constituents would send them an unmistakable message about how they feel about what happened here in the Capitol today.
Senator, I have to ask you about the state of our nation, the security of our nation. There are reports that a number of the president's national security advisors are considering resigning. Margaret Brennan, our moderator of Face the Nation, has reported there are cabinet members who are considering invoking the 25th Amendment. And there are press reports that the president, in the words of Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, has lost it. He has said he will not concede. Are you concerned, and would you support an effort by some of your House colleagues to move forward with a second impeachment trial in the final 2 weeks of the Trump presidency?
Well, look, Nora, this is a moment of great peril for our nation. We have a president who's demonstrated an unhinged allegiance to a conspiracy theory in which he actually won the election that he lost 2 months ago. I think we cannot coddle this leader any further. I think we cannot tolerate the sorts of actions he took that led to today any further. And we need to take the steps that will be effective in the next 2 weeks.
You think he should be removed from office?
My hope is that his cabinet, his vice president, his closest advisors will move him along and get him to accept the outcome of the election that happened 2 months ago. Nor, I'll remind you, in the last 2 months, he's ignored the raging pandemic and he's fueled the fires of division. He's mostly tweeted and indulged himself and golfed. He has utterly abandoned his post as president in the pandemic, in the midst of a Russian hack of our national security systems. He doesn't deserve the presidency anymore, and we need to do what we can to ensure a peaceful, stable transition to President-elect Joe Biden.
Not to mention the millions of Americans who are waiting for a vaccine. Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, thank you so much. We'll be right back when our coverage of the assault on the Capitol continues.
You're listening to CBS News continuing coverage of what happened today on Capitol Hill, this unprecedented attack, as Vice President Pence put it earlier today, on the U.S. Capitol that for many hours disrupted the constitutionally required count of electoral votes. And it followed a large rally the president spoke at on the Ellipse about a mile and a half west of the Capitol. The march went from the Ellipse to the Capitol, and then the hours-long siege, in which a number of marauders wound up inside the Capitol building, breached the rotunda and the House corridor, a statuary hall, and of course got inside the Senate chamber, did not breach the House chamber. The House, by the way, happens to be voting right now on the first of the objections that have been raised by Republicans, electoral votes from the state of Arizona. That vote is ongoing. As I've mentioned, there's a caution that requires that only a certain number of members enter the House chamber at a time to cast their votes. As it stands, the vote is 79 in favor, 186 against sustaining the objection, which means that 186 members are voting to essentially accept the votes from Arizona, and 79 members are voting to reject. In the Senate, a short while ago, the roll call vote there was 93-6. 93 senators voting to essentially accept Arizona's electoral votes, and 6 senators voting to reject Arizona's electoral votes. It's been an evening of stirring and emotional speeches in the U.S. Capitol. A very trying day. CBS's Steve Dorsey is with us from Capitol Hill. Steve, give us a sense of some of the emotion members of the House and Senate tonight.
Outrage, disgust, exhaustion, and disbelief. And it all comes so quickly, you know, 12 hours with Democrats, 24 hours ago, I should say, Democrats were seeing the first signs that they were positioned to regain control of the Senate with these races in Georgia. They woke up this morning prepared for a new dynamic in Washington, only to be confronted with protesters storming into this building where I am right now. I was watching them. I was hearing them. I was an ear witness to this. And then in disbelief that they made it into the Senate chamber, that they clashed outside a barricaded door in the House chamber, that a woman was shot and eventually died from her injuries, all taking place all hours before everyone was evacuated in this building to safety before being brought in and resuming business that had been interrupted just hours ago. It is surreal. It is frightening about what could happen that we see play out overseas here in the seat of democracy for this country. It was lawlessness in a place where laws are cherished.
Steve Dorsey, one of the harder working reporters, CBS News today, has been at the Capitol for many hours, and something that Steve just echoed today from President-elect Biden when he spoke from Wilmington and called the demonstrations or the mob essentially takeover of the Capitol as not protest but insurrection. Mr. Biden said that it's a painful reminder that democracy is fragile. The ramifications of all this are not entirely clear tonight, but one thing is being discussed, and that's a report by our colleague Margaret Brennan, that members of the Trump cabinet whispering amongst one another about possibly invoking the 25th Amendment. So angered by the president's response to all this in tweets and his today in a Twitter video this afternoon, where he essentially in one tweet that this is what the country gets for his defeat. One of the deleted by Twitter and led to the president being suspended on Twitter for 12 hours. He says, these are the things and events that happen when a sacred landslide election victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stripped away from great patriots who've been so badly and unfairly treated for so long. That again led to Twitter deleting that tweet and suspending the president's account for 12 hours, so the president cannot tweet tonight. The video that the president put out also had Facebook taking it down. So what we have is Margaret Brennan's reporting that right now members of the cabinet are discussing amongst themselves whether to essentially sign a document that would temporarily remove the powers of the presidency from Donald Trump. Let's listen to Margaret Brennan as she's on CBS TV.
Really, the general there about activating the National Guard. We know that that order came from the vice president and not the commander-in-chief himself. So this is very messy, to be very honest with you, Nora. And the reporting on this is very early. But I just do want to underscore here that it is not just chatter and political speculation. There is deep concern about the president's state of mind, his thinking, and the events of the past 24 hours.
And Margaret, is it possible that this is an attempt by some of these cabinet members to rescue their own reputations?
Absolutely, Nora. There is, as you well know, a variety of motivations, particularly among those who hope to have a future political career themselves. We also know that, and I believe Major speculated earlier, this could be a matter of getting the attention of the president right now. Certainly also the case, as could be those unconfirmed reports of resignations. But there is a real moment here of desperation among these top advisors to try to get some control over the situation right now.
Margaret Brennan on CBS TV reporting that there are whispers amongst members of the Trump cabinet about invoking the 25th Amendment, which under its terms would allow the vice president, in conjunction with a majority of the members of the president's cabinet, to sign a document to be transmitted to Congress that would, for a period of time, take the powers of the presidency away from Mr. Trump if this were to move forward. Now, according to Margaret Brennan's reporting, this idea had not yet been presented to Vice President Pence, who's been at the Capitol all day long, but she says that there are discussions, actual discussions going on amongst cabinet members. But she also says that nothing may come of these discussions, but the fact is the discussions are happening. She also spoke of some of the resignations that we are hearing about and aware of. One of them happens to be the chief of staff of the First Lady, and the former White House press secretary, Stephanie Grisham, resigned today. One of the deputy press secretaries, Sarah Matthews, resigned today. There are reports that other members of the Trump administration are considering resigning, perhaps people who are higher profile or maybe lower profile, and names you might not know, but there are reports that these people have considered throwing in the towel in these last 2 weeks after what they witnessed today and the president's response to it. The House continues voting on the Republican objection to the electoral votes from Arizona. At the moment, the votes are 98-232, and most Republicans are voting in favor of the objection. It's 98 Republicans in favor of the objection, 59 Republicans against it. And remember, because the way this works procedurally, an objection has been made for the House and the Senate is whether to sustain or agree to that objection. And in the case of the Senate, it was 93-6 to reject the objection. Right now in the House, it's 99 Republicans in favor of the objection and 233 members of the House, Republicans and Democrats together, voting against. There are no Democrats voting to sustain the objection, which would not be a surprise. CBS's Steve Dorsey is with us from Capitol Hill. Steve, obviously the situation is calm now. Have you had a chance in your reporting today to actually get a sense of some of the physical damage that's been done to the Capitol today?
Well, we're only allowed access to what police allow us access to, but I have seen the same images circulating among the press here that many of us have seen, and it looks like these Senate offices and these House offices were trashed, paper books spread out along the office, plenty of windows broken, doors smashed in, furniture thrown across the hall, broken pieces of paneling on the floor. We had a report from one of our CBS producers on the Senate side that the floor is covered in fire extinguisher. So real vandalism, as some members of the Senate call it, and destruction in this place of Temple of Democracy, as we've been calling it all night.
We know that one person has been killed in all this. One person died. It was a woman. We don't know her name at this point, as far as I know, or the circumstances that led to her death, but she was shot inside the Capitol. We know that at least 7 people have been taken to hospitals and a number of people have been arrested. The top Senate Democrat, Chuck Schumer, said today that these people should be provided no leniency, that they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, hopefully by election, but certainly by the next. We learned today that the president-elect has chosen Merrick Garland, the circuit court judge here in Washington, to be his nominee for attorney general, who would be the top lawman and perhaps in position to oversee the prosecutions of these people who may be identified if they have been arrested or would be arrested and then would be charged. So that's the story that we have right now, that there are calls, widespread condemnation. As far as I can tell, every living former president has issued statements, for the most part condemning President Trump and those among his supporters who stormed the Capitol today. CBS News television coverage continues. Let's listen in.
Started expecting to cover the electoral count and the game changing runoffs in Georgia, and it all changed once a mob stormed the Capitol. But what happened in Georgia last night has had huge consequences. CBS News at this hour projects that Democrats won both races, and that gives Democrats control of the United States Senate. Let's get more now from CBS's Mark Strassman in Atlanta. Good evening, Mark, and this is historic.
It is, Nora. I think everyone in America has been consumed by the craziness of the day in Washington. I mean, understandably so. But you can bet these races here have everyone's attention in Georgia. There's the double defeat for Republicans, a moment of reckoning and some soul searching, too. Both Republican candidates had wrapped themselves in the Trump brand. Their defeat was a rejection of that brand. And in the double victory for Democrats, they now understand that they have a path forward after years, decades really, of trying. I mean, these candidates who won, Ossoff and Pastor Warnock, they're liberal candidates. I mean, not just moderate, they're liberal candidates who managed to win statewide in a state that is generally been considered to be conservative. Diversity is changing, its youth is changing, its dynamic is changing. And across the South, I think there are going to be a lot of other states who look at Georgia and say, is that our future too?
Mark Strassman, thank you. Want to bring in Democratic strategist and CBS News political contributor Joel Payne. He joins us. And Joel, despite everything that happened today that was universally condemned as a disgrace, at the same time, we saw a huge shift in the state of Georgia and what will translate into a shift in how the Senate is governed.
It's a big deal, Nora. And I can tell you, Democrats started the day with a lot of euphoria. Looking at Warnoff and Ossoff winning their races, particularly African-American Democrats who feel a lot of pride in turning that state and that seat, those two seats, blue. In the last cycle, Georgia has gone the way of states like Virginia and Colorado before it that were formerly purple and are now blue. Something else that jumps out to me about today, Nora, just thinking, you know, big picture about what we experienced. The Republicans on Capitol Hill, people like Mike Pence, Mitch McConnell, they experienced today what so many Americans have been experiencing for the last 4 years. The frustration about President Trump, feeling McConnell's face before the riots earlier today. It's the feeling that so many Americans felt for the last 4 years. Women in the Women's March right at the inauguration in 2017. People who are protesting for racial justice in the streets after George Floyd and Jacob Blake, which of course there was a big decision about yesterday. It seems like the chickens came home to roost to Republicans, and that is something that jumped out to me as someone who spent my career working on Capitol Hill.
And Joel Payne, who puts it in perspective about the fear and the anxiety that so many Americans have felt this year, and it has come to the front door of Congress, as Margaret put it today. Joel, thank you so much for joining us. Also, CBS's John Dickerson, our residential presidential historian, was watching most of the day with us, and he says some thoughts on a national disgrace and what many see as a threat to our democracy.
In President Trump's remarks today to the crowd he summoned to overturn the election, he pledged to protect the Washington Monument, just one of the imagined threats to which he presented himself as the savior. But the monument under threat today was down Pennsylvania Avenue, the Capitol, on whose steps President Trump talked about American carnage 4 years ago, saw the closest thing to that since the British attacked it more than 200 years ago. The president, who had once threatened to quell protests over racial justice with the Insurrection Act, had spurred an act of insurrection. His encouragements today were the ugly flower of 4 years of dismantling traditions that hold democracy together. His lie about a stolen election was just the latest in a campaign against the very nature of truth. To an audience, he'd primed to believe that the government was made up of sinister forces trying to steal their liberty. What? Members of Congress, some of whom he had targeted, were forced to follow the emergency instructions put in place after 9/11, when the extremist threat was supposed to be coming from overseas. Capitol Police had to draw their sidearm. Not all protesters were violent. Some stopped to take pictures in the Capitol Rotunda, where there hang paintings of founding American moments, the Pilgrim's Landing, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. There is also a painting of the moment George Washington willingly handed back power by resigning as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. The artist John Turnbull said the act was inconceivable, because usually leaders clung to power no matter what. If Washington does that, King George III supposedly said, he will be the greatest man in the world. American monuments have power because they inspire the conduct they elevate. In this case, Washington's virtue, restraint, character. Washington put the nation over his personal ambition. Donald Trump's personal ambition has convulsed the nation. That is a far greater threat to Washington's legacy and America than any threat from which President Trump may perceive himself as the protector.
John Dickerson with an essay on the meaning of the day, a painful day in American history, what the top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer said will be marked in history as one of the more infamous days, a day that will go down in infamy, which he compared to December 7th, 1941, and other such dates. The House continues voting, and it is right now 119 in favor of sustaining the objection to the electoral votes from Arizona, 291 against. But the point that has to be made here is that most of the Republicans in the House have now voted to reject the electoral votes from Arizona. It's not clear whether there will be similar objections in the case of other states, or whether Congress has really just had it for the day and will call it quits. But there'll be much more on the assault on the U.S. Capitol tonight on our 24-hour streaming services, CBSN, on your local news on this CBS station, and across our CBS News radio broadcasts. For Steve Dorsey, I'm Stephen Portnoy, CBS News.